Attempting double game week as FPL returns. While you have to go all in on United, it's a pod triple up on triple captains. And always being different, Jules has his wildcard active. Hello, well, as fun as that was, it's good to have FPL back after the FA Cup, isn't it? Sam and Jules are back with me, and we joked last week if both of their teams would still be in the FA Cup by the time we recorded. Congratulations, Sam. You've got one up on Jules there. Spurs still in it.
For once.
You got through the tie at Preston.
Yes! FA Cup run, here we come. To be honest, though, if you'd have said to me which of the North London clubs will make it through the FA Cup, I probably would have put more money on it being Arsenal. But, yep, Spurs, absolutely doing me proud. And actually getting some players in the transfer window as well. So happy Sam this week.
Happy Sam. We've got a happy Jules. You're always happy,
yeah,
Jules. And you only went up to Man City.
It's good to see average teams winning now and again, you know. So it was a good weekend for some. And now we have to look forward to the weekend. That's what really, I mean, no offense to the FA Cup, but really what matters the most is the Premier League.
It's funny, isn't it? Because for years, Arsenal have really cared about the FA Cup. Now all of a sudden, the league seems to be important.
Now they're out.
Anyway... You two can sit there gloating all you like, but our guest today has got far more reason to gloat, I would say, because his team are still in two cups, including getting to the EFL Cup final this week, broadcast over the Premier League and The Athletic. Ian Irving is back on the pod with a big smile on his face.
Good morning, Gal.
Morning. It's probably going a bit better for United than it was the last time you were on here, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was sort of the start of the season, wasn't it? Well, we won't talk about that. So yeah, it's going great. Yeah, thank you.
And also another thing that's been going great. Now, I don't know how often you listen to this podcast, Ian, but these guys regularly at the moment give me a bit of stick because my FPL team isn't doing as well as maybe it has in previous
seasons. Well, I've scrolled
seasons.
Down in our mini league, Kelly, and I found I know how well you're doing. Yeah, it took a lot of scrolling.
Right, I was about to be nice to you then.
Sorry.
You are having a brilliant season, aren't you? Tell us how it's gone so far.
Do you know, I've probably come on at a point where I'm not as happy as I was, I suppose. So after the World Cup, I was hovering around the 10K mark, which I was really happy with. And somehow I've managed to treble my rank since the World Cup, but I'm still 30K roughly, so it's still going pretty well. But you know that thing where you always want to be as high as you were in the season? You always want to be at your highest point as you go through the campaign. So I'm now trying to get back to where I was almost and being annoyed at some of the decisions that I made. So I should be very happy because it's going a lot better than recent years, but I'm still sort of feeling that little bit of anger at where I was just a few weeks ago, really, to be honest.
I can imagine it must be really tough for you. You can probably imagine the sympathy that myself. Sam's face couldn't be less impressed, by the way. She's like, are you serious?
It's been a real struggle, though, this season, like, hasn't it? To kind of, I think, like Ian was just saying, since the World Cup for him, it's been a bit difficult. And I think for every manager, you have these periods of a season. You're going through it at the moment, Kelly, where you just, everything feels a bit more kind of like walking through mud, and the decisions you make maybe don't go as well as you would hope that they would. And then you have other periods of time where you can't get a decision wrong. And it can be quite frustrating to kind of go, well, 2 weeks ago, I was absolutely flying and now I'm finding it more difficult again. And it's just one of those, you know, don't second guess yourself, keep going, keep persevering. I'm coming for you, Ian. I'm feeling quite positive about my season at the moment because, you know, in the opposite way that Ian was just saying, since the World Cup, mine's gone well. So just got to keep that kind of momentum going now.
Ian, what has gone well for you? What have been the kind of key players or maybe the secrets? Because please do pass them on.
It's a difficult question, that, and I thought you would ask it me. So I sort of had a look back over my season to see what bits had stood out. I don't think there's been anything that's been a secret or anything that's been particularly outstanding. The only thing that I've noticed really, and I think I remember talking about this when I was on the podcast last time, was just jumping on the Perma Haaland captain really early. So basically about week two, I was captaining Haaland and more or less stuck with that all the way through. So obviously that did me really well because he's had such a brilliant season. And early on, people were maybe flip-flopping a little bit between him and Salah and maybe a couple of others. So I think that did me well. But yeah, I don't think there's been anything spectacular. I've tried not to take hits this year, which has been a change for me. In the early part of the season when there wasn't midweek games, I tried to be really decisive with my transfers and know sort of early on in the week what I was going to do. That's definitely gone out the window with all the midweek matches and changes. And I mean, this game week, you know, I'm still scared of making transfers. Now I'm just waiting for another game to pop up that might sort of ruin my plans or a price change as well. My price changes have been a bit annoying at times this season. There's just so many people playing now, isn't there? You know, it's a completely different game in terms of getting a decent rank compared to previous years. I think the idea of, you know, a top 10K rank being something that you're really happy with, it should be a top 100K rank, I think, now, because, you know, there's just so many people playing. It's fantastic. It's so competitive.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't be too upset if I had a 30K rank, that's for sure. Anyway, you alluded to it then, Ian, the fact that there's been these games kind of popping up all over the place. We've had a few doubles recently, and it's very convenient we've got you on today as well, because we're heading into another double game week, and Manchester United are one of the two teams that do play twice. We teased it last week, but it has finally been confirmed that with both Leeds and Manchester United winning their FA Cup matches, they will now play on Wednesday the 8th of February. That's midway through game week 22, of course, the upcoming game week. Plus, a little bit further into the distance, we do now know that both Newcastle and Manchester United are in the EFL Cup final. So both of those teams will blank on the weekend of the 25th of February, which is game week 25. And Sam, maybe that makes things a little bit trickier, because we do know that United have got that blank on the horizon. But before then, they've got a really exciting double, haven't they?
So one of the pitfalls of FPL management is that you get a team that's got a double and you think, right, great, I want to go all in. And then the same team blanking like three game weeks later. And you have to really plan your strategy, because, of course, in game week 25, not only do Newcastle and Manchester United blank, but obviously their game week 25 opponents, Brentford and Brighton, would also be blanking. So whilst Brighton aren't that heavily owned right now, they are becoming popular and people want to invest in the likes of Matoma or McAllister or one of the defenders. So you have to really consider, if you've already got Trippier and maybe you've got Almiron, or you're doubled up on the Newcastle defence, and then you treble up on Manchester United for this double game week, that is a lot of players potentially that you haven't got playing in 25. So you'll need a strategy that's either, after the double, I'm going to start removing these players, or a free hit for 25, or a wild card going into 25, so that you're prepared, because you really do want to target Manchester United for this double and then just know that you've got a plan for how to manage game week 25.
How are you planning on approaching Man United in this double, Jules?
I'm going to play my wild card. This is the choice made this week. I know it was funny, Ian, is that we have a WhatsApp group with the girls, and I said like a couple of days ago, just to let you know, guys, I'm playing the wild card. And Sam said, oh, I'm thinking about triple captaining Rashford. And then we said to Kelly, oh, Kelly, what are you doing? And she said, I'm praying, which I think gives you a really good insight, and all the listeners, on how like Kelly prepares and approaches for the game weeks.
No, it's tactical as well. But at that moment when you messaged me, I was just like, I can't even entertain in this conversation, because even if I use a chip this week, I'm at that point, you know, when you're low as an FPL manager and you feel like, even if I was allowed to use every chip this week, I still feel like it wouldn't go right.
No. You, I mean, one day you will do well. Yeah, one day. I mean, maybe in a couple of...
No, the problem is I normally do okay, and this season's just been ridiculous. Anyway, Jules, I didn't ask this. I asked what you were doing with Man United.
Sorry, I digressed. Yeah, so Rashford was already in the team with Lisandro Martinez in the view of this double game week. And then I thought Bruno Fernandes, who we mentioned, I think, in last week's show, could come in. Then I can leave enough money in the bank to swap him for KDB for the following game week, where City will have that double game week. So I thought that was a good way of doing it. Also, certainly approaching this one. So, yeah, that's the idea.
Okay, at the end of this podcast, we'll ask you to talk us through your wild card a little bit, because I'm intrigued as to some of your selections, because it's an interesting time as well, because you've been having, well, by my standards, a pretty good season. Ian, Manchester United are your area of expertise.
Yeah.
How many do we need?
Three.
Which ones do we need?
Definitely need three for me. I think these two fixtures are an open invitation to load up on Manchester United, despite the blank that's coming that Sam mentioned before. Somehow, there's nearly 50% of teams who don't have Marcus Rashford in them at the moment, which seems absolutely crazy. Considering his price as well, not to mention his form. I mean, just get him if you've not got him. In terms of the others, a lot of people will own Luke Shaw already, and I definitely think the defence is worth covering. Jules mentioned there Bruno Fernandes. He'll be a popular pick, I'm sure. I think he's the most transferred in player at the moment, which might have something to do with the fact that Marcus Rashford is 50% owned and Bruno's lower than that. I'm not totally sold on Bruno. I feel like I will bring him in, but it's more almost like FOMO with him, because A lot of people will do it. And he also seems to have a habit of actually sort of doing pretty well in double game weeks as well. I've not got the exact data to hand to back that up, but I seem to
have... He outscored Rashford in 20, in game week 20.
Yeah, 19 points doubled that week.
Yeah. And also last season, I seem to remember backing Ronaldo in a double game week, and it was Bruno that ended up sort of coming from nowhere and finding form in the two matches, and people captained him, and it was a massive sort of difference between the two. I don't mind Aaron Wan-Bissaka, if I'm honest. I feel like he is someone that isn't really getting mentioned very much. Diogo Dalot's injury is a bit of a mystery at the moment. Erik ten Hag's just stopped talking about it, which doesn't make me think that he's on the verge of returning. And just looking at Wan-Bissaka's form, he's started pretty much all the games for United in all competitions since the restart after the World Cup. So it's 12 matches in total. He's played in 11 of them, started 10. They've won 9. They've kept 7 clean sheets. They've only conceded 6 goals during that time. And 3 of those, of course, was against Arsenal as well. But the most interesting thing about him is that actually, since the World Cup, there's only 3 defenders who've created more chances than him in the entire Premier League. So there could be a little bit of assist potential with Wan-Bissaka. He's really cheap. And it might be a little easier for people to fit him into the team when there's people like João Cancelo who need selling rather than flip-flopping with Kevin De Bruyne, with Bruno maybe. I'm saying all this, I'm probably not going to get Wan-Bissaka. I'm probably going to get Bruno Fernandes. But I think he is an interesting choice for people.
On Bruno, quickly, I think the Eriksen injury, whenever Sabitzer would be ready to play and to replace Eriksen, like, you know, position for position, I think Bruno becomes even more important for United. Without Eriksen in the build-up play, in, you know, where you know who to find when you've got the ball, who's going to create and things like that. So that's why I think as well, Bruno now for this double game week could be very interesting, is that the absence of Eriksen could make even more important for that team.
Yeah, it's a bit of an unknown, Bruno, to be honest, because like you say, of the injury to Eriksen, and Christian Eriksen's played so much for Manchester United this season that there's not much data on Bruno Fernandes when he hasn't got Christian Eriksen on the pitch alongside him. I think there's been 2 matches this season in the Premier League that Bruno has played with Fred and not Eriksen, and that was Tottenham and Newcastle at home. He scored in one of those games, to be fair. But the thing with Bruno is his form at home for United over the course of the last 12 months has not been great. He scored against Spurs this season. He scored in the Manchester Derby as well. But other than that, he's only scored once in the last 12 months in the Premier League at Old Trafford. So if you consider that the teams that he scored against as well were Tottenham, Manchester City and Brighton, they're all teams who will have had a fair share, if not the lion's share, of possession. And I don't think that's the case for Leeds and Crystal Palace. So that there is that sort of caveat that Fred coming in and not Eriksen might change things for Bruno, but there's not much history there. There's not much form there to lean on for Bruno Fernandes to suggest that this is going to be a brilliant week for him. Again, I'll caveat that with the fact that I'm probably going to bring him in, so I'm trying not to put people off too much. But I'm not totally confident, I have to say.
But he's got a really good record against Leeds in. I was looking at this. He's got 13 points average against them, more than any other opponent, 5 goals, an assist, and 37 points in 2 meetings at Old Trafford. Sam, all of the stats, when we look at Bruno in terms of current form, suggest that he's a perfect pick for this week, don't they?
Yeah, and you know, he's got some set-piece threat, and I think everything about Bruno Fernandes is a buy for me this week. The fact that he's also still under 10% owned, I mean, he's gone up a lot
That's
over the
crazy,
course of the last
it?
Couple of weeks, but he's still owned by 9.7% of the game, so he's still a massive differential. And, you know, I know that we were saying before that Marcus Rashford, you know, still 50% of the game don't own him, but that does mean that 50% of the game do own him. And so the rank changes that you get from having him will be less than you get for Bruno Fernandes if Bruno Fernandes goes off this week and you've got him in, because it's a massive differential over the other teams in the game. So I really like Bruno Fernandes. The other thing I also really like about Bruno is that it's easy to move from him into an Arsenal or Manchester City midfielder for game week 23 when those guys play twice. So it's a really nice way to kind of treble up on Manchester United, because I think Ian's absolutely right. I think you have to treble up. I think Bruno, Rashford and Shaw are the three to have if you've got free choice of your Manchester United player picks. And I'll be interested actually, Jules, to know whether you're going to stick with Martinez or move to Shaw as part of your wild card. But I think, you know, Bruno's perfect because you can invest this week, you can benefit from the differential potential that he has and know that you know, the week following, you can go to Saka, you can go to Kevin De Bruyne, you can go to Mahrez, whoever you fancy for the double in 23.
I like Lisandro Martinez. I have to say, I know Shaw played as centre back and he was on the bench a couple of games in the last few weeks, but I thought he was excellent against Arsenal with the goal as well. And him and Varane play so well together. But Wan-Bissaka, I thought about Wan-Bissaka as well because I needed, if I move, I need a cheap defender. Mm. So that's where I am. And I'm not too convinced about Luke Shaw either. So this one is still open.
Jules, is there any part of you that thinks on a wild card, not investing in the Manchester United defence at all? Like with Weghorst or, you know, even Martial, I know you love Martial, coming back in the League Cup. Is there any part of you that thinks, or maybe I'll go for three attacking assets because the two defences that they have are gettable at?
Yes, but I also think that there's easily room there for two games without conceding a single goal. You know, it would be better and for everybody who's thinking about triple up on or doubling up on United to have someone at the back. Even De Gea, at some point, I thought about because I do think that it can easily go through those two games without conceding a single goal.
Wan-Bissaka's a 1 million saving on Luke Shaw as well. So if you think you can use that in other areas of your team, it could come in handy, that. And I don't think there's much difference between those two since they've both been in the team post the World Cup.
Okay, let's round off this United chat by all saying, I think we all agree that we're going to do three United players. Which three are we going for? Ian, I'm guessing you're going for the Shaw, Bruno, Rashford. You turn your nose up at me as if to say, I don't really want to do that, but I'm going to do that.
Exactly, yeah.
Sam?
Yeah, I'm going with those three. But I want to go with those three, unlike Ian.
It's just a bit boring, isn't it?
Yeah, me too. Jules, what about you? You're never boring.
No, I mean, I go Lisandro and Rashford and Bruno.
Okay, all right. Slightly different there. Quick one, actually. This is where I use this podcast again to try and help my beleaguered team. Sam, I've got Kevin De Bruyne. I was thinking of going to Bruno, but then obviously I've got one eye on the fact that next week there is a double for Arsenal and Manchester City. Mm. Is that a silly transfer?
No, I don't
think
it is.
Bear in mind my rank.
I don't think it is, because I also think that means that you've got the potential the week after to maybe go with Mahrez instead for the double game week, or to look at a different Manchester City asset. Because as much as I love Kevin De Bruyne and he's an absolutely fantastic football player and the difference he makes to Manchester City generally is so important, but I don't think he's been quite worth his FPL price tag over the last few weeks. Now, that absolutely means he's going to go mad against Spurs on Sunday, doesn't it? But I think that going into the double game week, you have the potential then to pick your Manchester City midfielder of choice rather than be, you know, with KDB. And if that means that you want to go back to KDB, then you can. But actually, you could, you know, choose to go with a different one.
Okay, that's officially me rounding off the Manchester United chat now. Just needed to know what I should do. That confirms that I'm going with the same three players that Sam and Ian are going with. What about Leeds then? Because we can't ignore them. They double as well. A slightly trickier double for them though. Their fixtures are Nottingham Forest and then Manchester United, both away from home. How much interest, Jules, do we realistically have there?
It's a difficult one because they are capable of playing well and scoring goals. Certainly creating chances. They don't score enough, I think. And this has been a problem. Defensively, they're not solid enough because I think they leave themselves quite open a lot because of the way they play and the intensity that Jesse Marsh want his players to put in the game. So we mentioned, I think Lee mentioned Gnonto, for example, last week, which could be a, you know, good idea for low budget if you really want a Leeds player. Bamford, there's the new signings, McKennie, for example, too, and Aronson. It's just those players are good players. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not criticizing Leeds United, but right now I don't see, certainly in my team, room for any of them. I just don't think there's added value there. None of those players think like, oh yeah, you know, this week could be good for him. So I would stay away from them, I think.
Yeah, Leeds have scored 25 goals this season. Rodrigo is the top scorer with 10. But Ian, they've only scored 4 Premier League goals since the restart. That's a bit of a red flag, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. I interviewed Willy Nonto yesterday, actually. And I said to him, you've got a double game week. Do you know about FPL? He knows all about it. He said he's going to play it probably next season. He had a big smile on his face. I said, your price is 5 million. You know that, don't you? He said, yeah. He said, it's disrespectful.
Ooh.
He was joking, but I quite like that.
Well, maybe if he scores loads of points in this game next season, we'll think, oh, we'll put his price up.
Yeah, so he said he's got a good feeling at the moment. So he was saying, yeah, get me in your FPL team. I didn't tell him that I wasn't going to. I just sort of said, yeah, okay, nice one. But it's 1% owned, Willy Nanto. So, if he does do something in this double game week, then he has got a really good chance of pushing your team forward. I think he's okay if you're looking at him as maybe an eighth attacker. So if you're looking at a switch possibly to a more of a 3-5-2 formation and you want to play Nyonto this week, he helps you out in game week 25, which we know the blanks now with Newcastle and Manchester United playing in the League Cup final. They've got Southampton at home, Leeds in 25, so he could be useful for you that week as well. He's been in the team a lot of late, but the issue is, and Jules touched on it, just how much competition there is for those places now. Where there's Nyonto, there's Aronson, there's Somerville, there's Sinisterra, there's Harrison, there's Rutner, there's Bamford, there's Rodrigo. Jesse Marsh could name a different front three for the next 6 weeks, basically, if he wanted to. So, if he's not on form, he's not going to be in the team. Then again, if he's on form and his form lately has been pretty good, he'll stay there, I think.
Okay, so Jules, you're not going to bring any in on your wild card, and it doesn't sound like Sam and Ian are going to bring any in either.
No.
Ian's nodding his head at me. Everyone's nodding their head at me, so we're all in agreement. We're going to be avoiding Leeds at the moment, but potentially managers have maybe got a couple of free transfers, a different strategy. Maybe then one of Jesse Marsh's men would be a good opportunity to bring them in. Chip strategy. Guys, obviously in doubles, we saw it in the last double, Erling Haaland was really popular with the triple captain chip. I've got to be honest, Ian, I'm hovering over Marcus Rashford for this game week. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I am as well. I'm not sure that we're going to get a better opportunity to use the triple captain chip. There might be an opportunity next week to use it on Erling Haaland, which, of course, considering his form this season, he's the obvious choice, I suppose, in terms of homing in on a player. But one of those games is Arsenal away, and obviously that's a really tough game. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rashford's form at Old Trafford has been absolutely brilliant. United's form of late has been great. No player's got more FPL points post the World Cup than Marcus Rashford. It's almost a surprise that he hasn't scored in the last couple of home games for United, considering he'd scored in 9 in a row before that and equaled an all-time record for Manchester United consecutive games at Old Trafford as well, which had stood since the 1960s. So he's banging form. The team's in form. The fixtures are good. Looking at the defensive stats as well for the teams that they're playing, since the World Cup, Crystal Palace are 18th for chances, for XG conceded. Leeds are 19th for XG conceded. Only Leicester have a worse defensive record since the World Cup. So the stars are aligning really to go for Marcus Rashford. It's just whether you feel like, Erling Haaland or someone later on in the season might be a better bet. The problem is that the game weeks that are coming in the future that will end up being double game weeks, you've got your other chips to use. There's potential for rotation with the Champions League being back and the Europa League being back. So I feel like Rashford will start both these games. The form's there. The fixtures are there. I'm not sure why I wouldn't do it, really.
Yeah, that's quite kind of what I'm looking at. But every time I feel like there's a really obvious player for a double game week, it always goes wrong. I think back to Sadio Mane against Wolves, was it, a couple of years ago, Sam? You must remember. Jules definitely remembers what I'm talking about.
I was
about.
On him as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, see, I didn't captain him that week. Me, I had Firmino as my triple captain that week because I went different. But Lee was on Mane and I remember him being most frustrated. Yeah. he's still upset about it now. I couldn't agree more with everything that Ian's just said, by the way. I think that, yes, you absolutely can wait for Haaland in 23. But Haaland's not exactly been setting the world on fire in recent weeks, leaving game week 21 aside, where obviously he was excellent. But the weeks previous to that, he hadn't been returning in the way that we maybe would have expected from Haaland. Plus, you never really know with Manchester City who's going to start. I think against Arsenal, they all do. And I suspect that because we've not got the Champions League, that they'll, we'll get the normal team out for them, or as normal as it can be with the Pep roulette. But as Ian says, if once we get into February and we're into the Champions League restarting, we're going to see rotation because Pep's already kind of hinted at the fact that he's really prioritising winning the Champions League this year. So we might see some rotation in later double game weeks. We also never know how things are going to go with injuries, not just to the players that we might triple captain, but to the rest of the teams and what that might mean for the way that they play the game. If Haaland loses one of his you know, big creative assets across that Man City team, does that make him less attractive? I think for me, the way I see the triple captainship is that you look for the perfect player in the perfect form with the perfect fixtures with a team that's playing well around them. And at the moment, I can't tick all of those boxes with Haaland, but I absolutely can with Rashford, particularly in those home fixtures. You know, 9 goals this season, 7 of them coming at Old Trafford. Like, even in the EFL Cup, he comes on, immediately looks like he's going to score a goal, where Manchester United really, up until that point, hadn't necessarily looked like they were going to, you know, extend their lead over Forest in the Cup. So I just wanted to make sure he made it through that game. He came on, he played well, he went off perfectly fine at the end of the game and is now fit and available for game week 22. So for me, that's an absolute lock on the triple captain.
Oh, we potentially got two triple captains, three if you include me, but I don't think anyone includes me and my expertise on this podcast at the moment. Jules, you can't triple captain him though, because of your wildcard being active. Are you nervous about that?
No. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think he's
still... Of course he's not. When does he get nervous, Sam?
He's never nervous.
It's a great shout. And the guys made a really good point about Marcus and why you should triple captain him. I think there will be other opportunity later in the season for triple captain, for Haaland, for Kane, for Saka, for others. So I'm not too worried, but I think it makes a lot of sense if you can play that chip to do it now.
Let's be honest, even if he was a bit jealous and worried, he would absolutely never...
He's not telling us.
...let us know about it. Just quickly, Sam, if you weren't tempted by the triple captain, would there be potentially any case to use any other chips? Because I know sometimes managers want to use kind of bench boost and things like that in double game weeks.
I mean, I think the bench boost and the free hit, you probably can hold out and use them later on now, because when I look at some of the other fixtures this week, there's some tough decisions to be made for FPL managers. Plus, we're just coming out of the January transfer window. So a lot of managers are potentially going to have some issues in their team. Like, you know, I'm surprised that Jules hasn't mentioned Cancelo yet, because, you know, he normally brings that up straight away.
Yeah.
The fact that Cancelo's gone now, that means like I've got a problem in my team. I've got him and that I've got to get rid of. We had some injuries to players like Carl Walker-Peters in the League Cup. We yet to see what impact that might have. But if you've got him, you're going to need to replace. Matt Doherty obviously was released by Spurs in the window. If you had him for their double, then you've got him to replace. So there's a lot of potential issues that managers need to fix in their teams after the transfer window, and maybe some players that managers want to target as well that have just come into the league. So for me, I think the bench boost you would hold now until one of the later double game weeks. But I think what Jules is doing with the wild cards, you know, when Jules dropped in our chat and said, oh, I'm going to wild card this week, I was like, oh, I actually feel really jealous, because I'd really like to wild card this week, but I really want to triple captain more. And that's where the weight came from. It was like, okay, do I triple captain Rashford? Because that's where I've been, my head's been at for a few weeks now, that this is what I would want to do. Or do I play my wild card? And I am going to triple captain. I'm going to lean maybe towards a wild card next week, potentially.
Oh, two. So we could have two or three triple captains this week. We could have back-to-back wild cards on this pod as well. Things are shaking up, aren't they? You're scared, aren't you? You're both scared that I'm coming for you.
That's it.
Sam mentioned it then, Ian. We all get double game week fever, don't we? We get excited when we look at our teams and players have got two fixtures next to them.
Looks great.
That's why
it?
We're maybe considering Leeds, even though Leeds don't have the best fixtures. When you look at the other fixtures, the other players that are only playing once in this game week, which players and teams stand out to you?
Arsenal, definitely, because they have the double game week coming next week as well. So that's still sort of a double game week feverish answer. But obviously Everton is a decent fixture. Mind you, they've got a new manager, Sean Dyche, so we'll, you know, wait to see what impact he can have at Goodison Park. But at least on paper, the fixtures over the next few weeks for Arsenal look really good. They don't blank, do they, in game week 25 either? I think they're actually top of the fixture ticker over the next few weeks. So,
yeah, they are.
You know, the top of the league, top of the fixture ticker. They've got players in form. I didn't think at any point I would have Eddie Nketiah in my team, but actually he is the attacker that is screaming to me at the moment. And I think I'm going to bring him in this week. No player since the World Cup, I'm liking these since the World Cup stats today, Anna, has got a higher non-penalty XGI per 90 minutes than Eddie Nketiah. Is even higher than Erling Haaland. So that gives you an idea of how good his form's been. It's really hard to pick an Arsenal midfielder, isn't it? I brought in Martin Odegaard last week. Still think he's a good pick. I think Bukayo Saka's a good pick as well. Not as certain on Gabriel Martinelli at the moment, to be honest. I think he's probably the bottom of the list in terms of those Arsenal attackers. But yeah, Arsenal definitely. And Mitoma, and I know that, I think you've got two Mitoma owners on the podcast today, haven't we? I mean, under normal circumstances, it'd have been all over Mitoma. Last week, I was heavily considering him against Martin Ødegaard, but in the end, Ødegaard won because of the double game week and so on. But, you know, his form, and also it's nice sometimes to own players that you just really enjoy watching as well. He's been absolutely electric in that Brighton team. I don't mind Evan Ferguson actually either. At the start of this period, my transfers were going to be Evan Ferguson and Bruno Fernandes in for Mitrovic and Zaha. I've still got Wilfried Zaha. That's one of the things that I've been annoyed about post the World Cup. Anyway, but he's gone up in price.
Why did you even bring him in after the World Cup? Like, what were you thinking?
The first two games after the World Cup were really favourable fixtures for Palace. I couldn't decide which Arsenal player to have.
He was a good pick. I nearly went for him.
So I thought, right, well, I'll give myself a couple of weeks of Zaha against weaker teams, see how he gets on. I'm fairly certain he'll do okay. He did absolutely nothing. And then somehow I just didn't get the Arsenal midfielder to replace him. But anyway, that's...
And he did play twice, didn't he? So, you know, he had a double game week in there.
Yeah. Well, he did in the end. That was a bit lucky, wasn't it? That just sort of fell my way. And I think he blanked in that as well, to be fair.
I was trying to help you out there, Ian.
Now he's injured. So, yeah, that's gone well.
He was a good pick a few weeks ago, Ian. I remember at the time toying with him. I didn't bring him in, probably one of my good decisions. But I remember he was really popular after the restart.
No Arsenal midfielder was a mistake for me coming back.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Mitoma as well is another one. They've got some good matches. Obviously, the blank game week coming up is a massive red flag for him, but he's really cheap. He's really good. He's getting points. So if you've got nothing else to do and you're not worried about the blank game week coming, I think he's a great pick as well.
Yeah, we talked about it last week with Lee, didn't we, Sam? How you cannot bring in players through fear of them blanking in a few weeks, but there are certain players that you do have to be a little bit careful. We have to forward plan as managers, but we also can't ignore the here and now. In terms of the here and now, which single game week players are you looking at?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, I think you're totally right. And I think Mitoma is going to be a player that I live to regret, because if I was just going to invest in a, you know, if I had an extra transfer or needed to free up some money, I think Mitoma is absolutely fantastic. He is, of all of the players in the game right now, he is the one outside of the double game weekers that I think is the best investment. And I think, you know, Ian's right. With Arsenal, you have to kind of treat them, and Man City, you have to treat them as double game week players now, because over the next two game weeks, them, Manchester United and Leeds all play three times. So they're effectively in the same boat. So you could kind of invest in Nketiah or the Arsenal players now, even though they've only got a single. If you are looking for a player that is kind of just a 1 week punt and you want to go really different, though, I'd have a little look at Aston Villa. I mean, the 2 weeks that follow are really difficult for them because they have Man City and Arsenal before the fixtures then get actually really nice again after those two. So if you want a player for this week because you want a cheap option, then I think somebody like Douglas Luiz or Emi Buendia actually look like really nice, cheap options, and then you can bench them for the two difficult games against City and Arsenal and then have them back for the really nice run of fixtures. Because when we get past, you know, City and Arsenal, they then have from 25, they have Everton, Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth, Chelsea, Forest. And it's like really, really good run of fixtures for Aston Villa. They've had a massive new manager bounce under Unai Emery, which I think will continue. So I would have a little look at one of those guys, knowing that then for 25, they're available from my bench to do me a massive favour.
What about you, Jules? Anyone? I'm intrigued because on a wild card, obviously you're thinking further ahead, but I know what you're like as an FPL manager. You're going to have a few certain teams that maybe we haven't mentioned so far.
Yeah, I've got one name that is coming in straight away. It's Mikhailo Mudryk at Chelsea. I think it's a very interesting one because, one, I'm being told that he trained really, really well and he's looking fantastic at training. Two, because Chelsea obviously didn't play last weekend in the FA Cup because they were out, which means that they had two full weeks of training. And like a team like United, who have played every 3 days, for example, in the last 2 weeks, which means that Graham Potter had plenty of time to, one, to get Mudryk's fitness back up because he hadn't played. He came on briefly for his debut at Liverpool, but before that, he hadn't played since November before the World Cup. But he's done a lot of work fitness-wise to get that fitness up, that fitness level up. And Potter finally, maybe for the first time this season, had time to actually work at training and do things with these players, with the new players, with people like Mudryk, individually, collectively, on the training pitch. So that has been really, really good, I think, for Chelsea, from a Chelsea point of view. And you just need to look at him for 30 seconds on his debut against Liverpool to see that he's a very special player. And I think that going early on Modric, especially thanks to the wild card, could be interesting. And also they play Fulham, West Ham and Southampton in the next three games. So they're really, really good fixtures.
Jules, are you tempted to double up on Chelsea defenders now? Because in the past, we'd always do that, wouldn't we? We'd have like, you know, Reece James, Chilwell, Kepa's great and we would want him. But since Badiashile's arrived, he has kept two clean sheets. He's also picked up two bonus points in the last two matches. And the Chelsea defence looks a lot more stable. And when I look at the three fixtures that you just mentioned, there should be clean sheets available there.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's the one really that I'm looking at defensively to bring in because it's not owned very much. And I think there's a lot of people who not only can't pronounce his name, not like you, Sam, but also even know who the guy is, to be fair.
I tried, Jules. I tried. I just might call him Benoit from now on.
Yeah, Ben, or Ben if you want. Like, you know, whatever. But the only thing is then I'll have three Chelsea players and I'm not sure if going forward this is the idea. I don't want to triple up on them and things like that, because then I will, after the wild card, which is great now and looks fantastic, but then after that it's one free transfer a week or two if you roll one in. So I might be stuck with the three and I'm not sure that's what I want right now. So it's possible for me to bring, and Badiashile would really be the only one that I would bring in defensively on top of Kepa from a Chelsea point of view.
The issue as well, like, I don't even think Graham Potter knows who he's going to pick week to week, does he, at the moment? He's got so many options. So imagine the training pitch this week. I can't even imagine how he's going to pick the team for the weekend, because he's got so many different options already and now he's got a load of new toys to play with. I mean, you could pick any of those players for Chelsea and not be absolutely certain that they're going to play at the moment. So but the fixtures are good, like Jules says. So if you can pick the right one, it's definitely an opportunity there.
Jules, this has been the most heavily teased wildcard I've ever heard. I feel like it is time for the grand reveal. Tell us where you're at with your squad. And also, this is an exclusive opportunity for you. You've got two experts today.
For sure.
You've got one that's in the top 30,000 in the world that can, maybe if he's being nice, give you some advice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not.
So
I wouldn't either.
And he's a friend as well. So so the newcomers, I like Nathan Ake a lot and I think he's going to come
in. Him. I wouldn't bring him in. I've got him.
it's okay. I mean, you will have some players that I want as well. So Ake, I think he's an interesting one to have. Badiashile, we mentioned, Modric, and Bruno, and Eddie Nketiah, of course, is coming in. I'm thinking about Odegaard instead of Martinelli. I think Martinelli has been really good in the game, but lately he's going through a tougher patch, if you want. And I think with Trossard coming in, I think Trossard is definitely more for the left-hand side than the right-hand side. So going Saka for Martinelli or Odegaard for Martinelli, maybe. In the view, of course, you know, for the City double game week, to bring in KDB if I leave enough money on the bank, or Mahrez, because he told me off the other day for not having him in the team again. So, you know, like, this is possible. It's looking good, to be fair.
What do we make of those changes? You didn't tell us your whole squad there, though, which is
intriguing.
I'm not going
to. And it's not, you know, this is Thursday morning. Leave me alone. Like, I've got plenty of time.
So he's just mentioned the ones that we're not going to pick holes at, basically, I think.
No. Tell me what you think about Modric. If my reasoning about Modric and the 2 weeks that Chelsea had to work and how exciting he looked on his debut, and if you think Modric is a good idea, or if I'm, you know, getting carried
away. Well, Jules, you're an insider. You know, you've got inside knowledge of what's happening at Chelsea. You don't need us to back you up to say that Modric's a good pick, but you've seen him play for 10 minutes at Anfield, haven't you? So, you know, you go for it, mate.
The thing is, I think, Jules, if you're wildcarding, you have to pick some differentials, because that's
exactly
how you boost your overall rank. You can't wildcard and pick just everybody that's owned by 50% of the game, because you need to have those kind of slightly out there picks in there. And I think, you know, when you look at the fixtures that Chelsea have, plus the fact that they don't blank in game week 25, they're a really nice team to invest in, because they give you the opportunity to kind of take an educated gamble on a team that should, based upon the signings that they've made and the performances in the last couple of weeks, be going somewhere over the next few weeks. So I actually really like the Modric pick. I think investing in Chelsea makes a lot of sense. I'm probably going to wait this week, watch them play against Fulham on Friday night, because I've got, you know, Manchester United assets that I want to buy and Cancelo-shaped holes in my team. But I'll be looking at Chelsea very carefully in that game with a view to investing in them for the week after, for sure.
Okay, I think we've gone over Jules' wildcard. We know his transfers. I'm pretty sure We've already articulated both Ian and Sam's transfers as well. But go on, Ian, just confirm what you're doing and your chip usage, captain, etc.
Yeah, the most likely thing as we sit here now and record is that I'm making two changes for a -4, which is removing Kevin De Bruyne for Bruno Fernandes and removing Alexander Mitrovic for Eddie Nketiah. I'll caveat that a little bit with Aaron Wan-Bissaka, which I said before, I'm tempted to maybe see how that works, and that means that I'll keep hold of Kevin De Bruyne instead. Captain will be definitely Marcus Rashford, and I'd say at the moment about 90% that it's going to be triple captain Marcus Rashford.
And that Eddie Nketiah transfer, obviously you could wait a week for their double, but obviously you've mentioned already Everton being their fixture this weekend. Do you think it's worth taking that -4 before then with that double on the horizon as well?
I don't have to do it this week, to be fair. You're right. I can wait until next week, but it would be a -4 for me next week as well. So it's just sort of weighing up when to take the -4 and whether I think that Nketiah is more likely to return against Everton than Mitrovic. To be honest, I don't think Mitrovic is an easy sell. I think the fixture against Chelsea.
Have you had him for the penalty misses though as well, yeah. Like me?
Yeah, I've had him pretty much since the World Cup, I think. But yeah. He's not an easy sell because you can see him doing all right in that game, really, can't you? Chelsea have not been completely set in their form, and Fulham obviously had that brilliant performance against Chelsea only a few weeks ago. So, yeah, you are making me sort of second guess that second move now, to be honest.
Oh, no, because it's very similar to, and this will probably make you not want to do it even more, they're two moves that I'm considering for a -4 as well, because I want Eddie Nketiah for the double. And I was thinking, well, this is also to do with my rank, I'll wait a week. I won't do that now, but you're right. Surely if you're going to take a -4, you want to give yourself the most opportunity to regain those points back. So if you can own him for another week, there's another opportunity to get those 4 points back, I guess.
Yeah, Everton on paper looks an easier fixture for Arsenal than Chelsea does for Fulham. So on that basis, and considering Nketiah's form, you know, is he more likely to return this week than Mitrovic? That's the question you need to ask yourself. But obviously, not only does he have to outscore him, he has to outscore him by more than 4. So yeah, maybe on that basis, I should really be just sticking to what I've got.
I'm not meaning to interrogate your transfers here, but there's
you
something
are a bit,
that.
To be fair, but...
Well, it's working.
Yeah, okay. It's kind of my job, isn't it, to tease information out of you.
Part of me thinks like, just get it sorted now. It's out of the way. Yes. I can stop taking
exactly.
hits. I said at the top of the pod that one of the things I've been really pleased with that's gone well this season is not taking too many hits. And I'm now going to take a hit, you know, and part of the ethos was at the start of the year, stop taking hits, don't take so many.
But hits can be good if used correctly.
They can be, but they've got to pay you back, haven't they, straight away? So you need to be sure that they are going to pay you back. Double game weeks help that. So next week, taking a -4 for Eddie Nketiah on Mitrovic is probably actually, on the balance of this conversation we've just had, the better move, I think.
I also buy into the fact that, yes, hits have to pay you back, but they don't have to pay you back immediately. So if you looked over a 6-week period or whatever, or however long you're going to keep him, you want to be able to look back and go, oh, Mitrovic scored me 10 points, but Nketiah scored me 20.
That just means that the move that you made that week hasn't worked, basically.
Exactly.
So you're trying to make yourself feel better.
I've
spent a lot of this season doing that.
Keeps the hope. Yeah, in game week 5, I brought you in, but you still haven't really returned for me.
But in game week 31, you definitely will.
That's what we have as FPL managers, isn't it? We've always got hope, no matter how bad it's going or the mine is dwindling. Ian, one final question for you, which I wish I'd asked earlier in the podcast. The interrogation continues. You obviously cover Manchester United. You're based up there in the north. One of the other teams you do cover quite regularly is Everton as well.
Yeah.
And you mentioned them being under Sean Dyche. They weren't very active in the January transfer window, losing Anthony Gordon as well. What are you expecting from them, or the difference in them under Sean Dyche?
They're going to have to tighten up. There's no question about that. And obviously we've seen at Burnley that Sean Dyche was brilliant at doing that, getting a back line organised. He's got James Tarkowski in there as well, who'll know all about how Dyche wants to play straight away. That'll help, I'm sure. I don't know about Everton, to be honest, from an FPL perspective, because the form has been tricky. Goals have been really hard to come by, and obviously not getting anyone so far in on the transfer front means that we haven't got anything that's going to change things sort of automatically. Defensively, maybe, you know, if he can get them sorted in that sense, they've got some very experienced players in that back line, and they've got some talent in that back line as well. There's threats from set pieces in Cody and Tarkowski as well. So they're one to keep an eye on, but if they're not going to score many, they're definitely going to have to concede fewer if they're going to stay in the Premier League this season. So maybe the defence is one to keep an eye on in the coming weeks, but we just have to see how it shakes down, because so much has happened at that football club over the last few weeks that Sean Dyche has got a huge task on his hands just to settle everything down, if nothing else.
I guess with Everton, the other consideration is in recent weeks, we've been targeting teams they've been playing against because they haven't been playing very well because they've been in such poor form. I guess maybe what you're saying, if it's true, Sean Dyche could solidify them and we'll maybe have to look at other teams slightly differently that are facing them. Sam, what are you thinking then? Are you just doing your Manchester United transfer, Bruno, in?
No, I've got two free transfers this week, so I'm going to use both. I am thinking about a minus four. I always think a double game week is a good week for a minus four because you've got double the opportunity for it to be repaid, particularly if you're investing in players that have, you know, nice long-term fixtures as well. I've obviously got to deal with Cancelo because I've also got injury worries for Kyle Walker-Peters, who went off in the League Cup, and we don't know if he'll be available for the weekend's match. And also I've got Luca Dean still, who I want to keep because in a few weeks' time, the fixtures actually are quite nice for Aston Villa. But he obviously went off with that shoulder injury a few weeks back, and there is a little bit of rotation around his position as well now, so he is one to consider. But that means with those three, I actually don't have a full defence to play for this week, so I really do have to deal with the Cancelo problem now. And then I obviously want to invest in Bruno, so I'm definitely doing Fernandez in for Almiron this week. I've got the money in the bank to be able to make that transfer. It's a straight swap, so that's fine. That one's definitely happening. The bigger question I have comes with the defender, because there aren't that many defenders that I actually really fancy the look of at the moment. There are a couple, you know, I am thinking about going for Chelsea, but because I've already got Kepa, I'm a little bit unsure about doing that. I would like to see them over the next game against Fulham before I invest there. But I need somebody that can come in this week, will definitely play in game week 25 and has potential to get some attacking returns as well as defensive ones. And this is where my difficulties lie, because if I take a minus four, it'll be to go from Darwin to Eddie Nketiah to, you know, prioritise the Arsenal double for next week. But that would mean that my next transfer next week also, spoiler alert for next week's pod, is to go Bruno to Saka. That would give me three Arsenal players in Saka, Nketiah and Martinelli. However, this week I'd really like an Arsenal defender because the fixture's nice against Everton, who don't score a lot of goals, and it deals with my problem defence to have an Arsenal defender in. So with the little picture that Jesus tweeted as well yesterday of him back on the grass, I am slightly worried about Nketiah's minutes moving forward as well. I don't think it's a problem for this week or next, but after that might be a problem. By the time we hit 25, the last thing I want is a problem with Nketiah, because I'm going to need all the players I can get for that week. So the long story short, Kelly, is that I think I'm going to go Cancelo to Gabriel and Almiron to Fernandez. Jules, Gabriel, is he the best? Because I'm so torn on Gabriel or Saliba as my Arsenal defender.
I mean, I don't have the price in mind, but they're very similar in the way they would return point. They're both very good on set piece. They're threat on set pieces, but, you know, very similar. Defensively, it would be, you know, it would be the same as well. So I think you can go for either. If one is a bit cheaper, or, you know, I think you should always go for the French Paris-born and bred guy, of course, you know, among the two. No offense to Brazilians, but it's pretty...
You're not going
to
sing?
Oh, yeah, Saliba Sona. I mean...
Go on.
It's too early.
There's very little difference in price between the two, Jules. So Saliba is 5.3. Gabriel is 5.2. I did look at Zinchenko as well because I thought he was excellent in game week 21. He's 5. Ben White is the cheapest of them all. He's 4.7, but you don't have the attacking threat. And I am a little worried about the Tomiyasu factor with Ben White at the minute.
I think Gabriel's the pick. Every time I watch Arsenal, he looks such a threat from set pieces.
Yeah,
you know,
that's where
he'll
I landed.
Get the clean sheets and... I think of them all, he's the most likely to get you an attacking return as well from a set piece. So I'd go Gabriel if I had that choice.
That's what I think I'm planning to do. I think it's Gabriel and Fernandez in for Cancelo and Almiron. And I'm going to hold Darwin Nunez again.
I mean, that is...
He's had the longest stay of execution I've ever had. Every week you talk about getting rid of him.
It's like Zaha for Ian.
It is.
Tell me about it. And I would like to sell him this week, but equally I'm like, right... Well, and I'm kind of thinking, well, a minus four to take him out this week. He's got Wolves. He could score against Wolves. Liverpool have to start playing better. They have to. So I keep looking at him kind of going, you could go out, but then I don't want to be trebled up on Arsenal this week because I don't have Saka next week. So if I take a -4 this week to bring in Nketiah, I'm definitely taking another -4 the week after. So I'm on -8 for the 2 weeks. Whereas if I just keep Darwin this week, I can just make the -4 the week after. And that feels like a more sensible decision.
Honestly, the more weeks we do this podcast, I feel like it is FPL therapy for people, for Sam in particular. Every week she gets her thoughts and feelings out towards Darwin Nunez.
Yeah, there we go.
She's better about it and then doesn't transfer him out.
And then he just stays. Yeah, he just stays. He'll be here in game week 38, I'm telling you now.
We'll check in on that next week because you did tease that potentially you could be tempted to wildcard as well. Oh, quickly, triple captain, Ian, yes, Marcus Rashford?
Go on then, because I'm on the podcast, yes, I'll triple captain Marcus Rashford.
Sam?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes. Jules, who are you going to captain?
Marcus Rashford. It's okay. It's still like double points. You know why? Like you three are greedy. You want triple points. Double is enough for me.
I need all the points I can get. Not sure if you've noticed.
That's not going to be enough. You need a quadruple captain. And
I do. I need a new chip every week. That's
Jules
for sure.
Doesn't need to triple captain Marcus Rashford. He's got Mudrick coming in. So exactly. You know, he's got his inside knowledge about him. He'll be absolutely fine. Yeah,
you just watch.
Tune into the pod next week, Ian, for the review of Jules' experimental wildcard.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Ian, thank you as always for coming on. Always good to see you on the podcast. Keep going with that brilliant season.
Thank
very
you.
Envious.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been a real laugh. Jules and Sam, as always, thank you very much. Jules, good luck with that wildcard, which,
much.
By the way, to all the regular listeners, they'll know that the actual wild card will probably look nothing
totally
like
different.
The wild card that he's just told us.
Always tell
he's going to go for Enzo rather than Madrid. He just, you know, he's going to go out there.
It was all a big bluff, wasn't it? We know what he's like. We know what he's like. Well, tune in next week to see how it all went and also to see how Sam is getting on in her complicated relationship with Darwin Nunez. A reminder, this week your deadline is Friday at 6:30 PM UK time. It's an early one. Do not miss it. Don't be that person that realises on Saturday morning they've missed another deadline. Very best of luck with it, and we'll be back next week.